Well, today is Palm Sunday, and we hear this story of Palm Sunday every year at about this time. It's a familiar one about Jesus riding on a donkey and people waving palm branches, as we heard in the scripture reading earlier this morning. We hear the story so often that sometimes, in the familiarity of it, we miss out on the context of what we're hearing. So in an attempt to think about Palm Sunday in a different way, I'd like to start off by telling you a story about an empire. Throughout my story, I will pause to allow space for reflection and silence before moving on to the next part of the story. I invite you to close your eyes and listen to the story as it unfolds. Once upon a time, there was an empire. Over many years, the empire expanded over a vast territory, and as time passed, the empire gained more power and more influence in the world, to the point where it was the most powerful nation on the earth. Citizens of this empire found comfort in knowing that they were protected by the empire's large army and felt good believing that the emperor had their best interests at heart. The citizens honored their empire as if he was a son of God and praised him for the wealth and peace he brought to their land. To them, the emperor was their savior. He rose to power in their polarized and conflict-ridden nation and maintained peace and security through economic and military domination to the benefit of the citizens. They had nothing to fear because they knew that they were citizens of the most powerful empire in the world. But not everyone in this empire was happy. The great power of the emperor was built on the oppression of those living under his rule who were not citizens. Some of these people were slaves. Others were people of other cultures who had to unwillingly live under the authority of this emperor. These oppressed outsiders were taxed ruthlessly for the benefit of the empire's citizens. Many of them struggled to make ends meet and feed their families while they watched the citizens of the empire receive benefits of citizenship, like free handouts of grain. They were criticized for not honoring the emperor as highly as they ought. They were expected to worship the empire and by extension the empire, and their religious convictions were therefore not respected and seen as secondary to the rule of the emperor. They lived under constant oppression while the citizens around them proclaimed the greatness of their nation. There was nothing they wanted more than to be liberated from the rule of this empire so that they could experience true freedom. Into this empire enters a man from humble beginnings. This man was born to poor parents who lived under the oppression of this empire. And as he grew to adulthood, this man saw behind the facade of the peace that the empire proclaimed. He saw the way the empire maintained this so-called peace by economical and political oppression, and he knew that it was not true peace. For true peace is not achieved through the oppression of those at the margins. This man began to travel throughout parts of the empire, relating primarily to those living under its oppression. He spent time with those who were on the margins of society, the homeless, the lepers, the women, the children, the blue-collar workers. He fed the hungry, healed homeless people who could not walk and could not see. He brought the dead back to life. He spoke out saying that he could offer a peace that this world could not, a better peace, an everlasting peace. A new kingdom is at hand, he said, as he touched people that no one else in society wanted to touch. He brought healing, food, and wine, but most importantly, he brought people hope. He gave them hope that one day their troubles would end, hope that their oppression would not last forever, hope that things could change and that he would be the one to change them. How wonderful would it be to have a leader who understood what it meant to be poor because he had experienced it himself. How wonderful to have a leader who was not only relatable, but someone who could heal their sick children, raise their dead loved ones, even multiply loaves of bread so that no one would go hungry. Who is this man who can do such wonderful things? News of him spread across the land, and many people came to believe that he was the one they had been waiting for, the one who would finally destroy the corrupt empire and bring them the freedom and prosperity they so desperately wanted. Soon it was time for a huge festival celebration, and people came to the city from all over the land. And when this man entered into the city, people who were there for the festival started cheering and shouting his praises. "This is a man who will save us. He is our king." The cries were so loud they could be heard from far away. Those in power, the political and religious leaders, stood there watching, wondering, and worrying about what they saw. Who is this man who can stir up the people to such excitement? If his following continues to grow, his power and influence will surely threaten our political security. He will upset our established systems. What if this man starts a revolt? What if he really is trying to become king? What is his plan? Who is he? You may open your eyes. So this is the setting of our Palm Sunday story that we hear each year. And this man from humble beginnings, of course, this advocate for the poor and forgotten, this servant of all, who we've been talking about, is Jesus. And the way of Jesus is always at odds with empire. On Palm Sunday, Jesus is welcomed into Jerusalem as a political ruler or a king, and then days later, he kneels down to wash the feet of his disciples, something only the lowliest servant would do. In an act of resistance against the power and greed of empire, Jesus purposefully positions himself in the posture of someone with no power or influence. "The greatest should be the least," he says. "Just as I have served you, so you should serve one another." Jesus had no interest in stealing the political power of others. He always said that his kingdom was not of this world. He did not seek to build a political empire in the way that most people imagined, for you see, empires are built by conquering others, by hoarding wealth and resources, by having more wealth, more influence, more strength, and by everyone else having less. He didn't want to build an empire that held power over others and called it security. He wanted to create a community, a global family, where security was rooted in humanity's trust for each other. He wanted a world where people truly loved God and loved their neighbor, and he knew that such a world could never be achieved through empire. When empire says, "We must build a greater army so that others do not take what we have," Jesus says, "Sell everything you have and give it to the poor." When empire says, "We must protect ourselves from outsiders," Jesus says, "Everyone is welcome to the banquet." When empire says, "We have to put ourselves first," Jesus says, "Be the servant of all." In fact, it is Jesus' embodiment of God's love that drew people to him in the first place. They were moved by his genuine compassion, by the way that he cared for the least in their society. It was through acts of compassion and healing that he began to help people see that there was so much more for them than the empire had to offer. The hosannas that they said as he rode into Jerusalem that day were not just shouts of praise, they were shouts of hope. Hope that something new was at hand in this mysterious Jesus. But many of those in the crowd shouting Hosanna mistook him for a worldly king, the ruler of a new empire, instead of a servant leader calling people to humility. I think it's easy for us to often make that same mistake. Religion and empire can get so intertwined that we think our government is the method for bringing peace to our land and to the world, and that if there were only more Jesus in our government, then things would get better. We get wrapped up in party politics, thinking that this is the only way to fix things. It's a similar mistake to what many people made on the first Palm Sunday. While politics may be important and even necessary, they will never solve all of our problems, because the kingdom of God and political empire just don't mix. So how do we live in this tension between following Jesus and the reality of empire? The reality of our world is that there will always be empires. There will always be those who seek power and seek to dominate others for their own gain. This year, many of us have had to come to terms with the reality of the empire we are living in. The empire is big, it is strong, and sometimes it feels as though we are powerless to change any corruption we see around us. We see people suffering, we see decisions being made by the powerful that exploit the weak of our society. And sometimes it feels as if there is nothing we can do to stop it. If only God would intervene and put people in their place. If only God would just take over and fix this mess. Where is God? God is here. God is here in the voice of every person who speaks out for those who cannot. God is in the hand that reaches out to pick up the downtrodden, and in the arms that embrace those in need of comfort. God is there in every act of compassion and every act of service. And each and every one of those acts is an act of resistance against the mentality of empire. I see the people of this church resisting empire in so many ways. You are warm, you are welcoming, you show compassion to all people, no matter how different from you they may be. You genuinely listen to the hurts and concerns of others. You weep for immigrants with no place to go. You take time to learn about your privilege so you can be better equipped to fight racism in the community. You visit mosques when many would run the other way. You work in schools and hospitals. You volunteer with Mennonite Central Committee, and most of all, you take time to sit in silence and let God's love and compassion fill you up so that it pours out of you in ordinary, everyday acts of resistance. So on this Palm Sunday, may we hold on to hope for our world, and may we keep filling ourselves up with God's compassion. For although the greed and fear of empire are strong, compassion is always stronger. No matter how beaten down it may be, love always rises again. In closing, I'd like to read the words from the hymn, Beyond a Dying Sun. We sang this hymn at our faculty in service over a week ago as we mourned the deaths of Mason Haas, a high school junior at Doc Mennonite Academy, and the death of UN peace worker and fellow Mennonite Michael Sharp. The song paints a picture of the kind of hope I believe we can find in Jesus on Palm Sunday, hope that can be strong and remain even through any difficult circumstances we may face. The words go like this. Beyond a dying sun, I saw a vision on the sea of golden sails full billowed on the wind. And echoing above the waves, a voice called after me, God's dwelling place is with you to the end. For God at last shall wipe away the tears from every eye. The sting of death shall pierce the heart no more. When grieving turns to laughter, all the pain from us shall fly, and former ways lie bleached upon the shore. Though hatred rages on the wind and wars defile the land, I see those golden sails still coming strong. For through the eyes of faith still shines the vision of the Lamb, and over a weary earth there rings this song. I see a new world coming where everyone is free and all shall be God's people in justice, love, and peace. May we always put our hope in Jesus and compassion instead of empire. Amen.